Big Baltalk, home of the original gun clappers, Matt Eichhorn, Jordan Flegel, back at you again after a little Wednesday special. Getting you guys that one. Delayed Monday episode.
Yeah, Monday turned into
that way. But let's just glass half full. Yeah. Let's talk about what's nice about it. I hope you guys all enjoyed that. If you haven't listened, be sure to go back and check out our NBA All-Star Selection special. We go through the entire NBA All-Star teams, and we're also going to be recapping the actual named NBA All-Star starters in just a couple minutes, as well as some talk about the Orlando Magic and their recent rough patch, some trade talk here with the Bucks and the Lakers, international appearances here in the NBA with Wemby in France against the Pacers, as well as some injury woes there continuing in Minnesota. But before we get into that, Jordan, did you do it? Did you split the G on that Guinness that you're drinking right now? It's not a Guinness glass. There is a G though that you've alluded to here for me. So I'm just interested to know how deep would that bad boy be, and what is the G standing for on this little mug that you're drinking out of currently?
Okay, so the mug, which I'm not in my own house, so I'm not familiar with this mug, but it's Head of the Trent, and the G is in this quote that I'll share with you all right now. I should probably save this
for
the end.
Motivational.
The greatest point of growth occurs right before your limit. That was said by, I actually can't read who said that.
Churchill.
But the G is there. It's a, you know, it's actually about where the G would normally be. I haven't gotten there today though, Matt. To be fair, I didn't set out with the goal of doing it, but I wanted to give it a good first go, and I have not split the G. As you know, that's never happened before. I've always split the G in every other single scenario. So that's weird for me. I'm a little off tonight, but like I say, not in my normal surroundings. Okay. You got to cut me some slack.
Let's hope that you're a strong finisher here as we start a little bit lukewarm.
Now I've got it there. Split it on two.
Split it on two. Okay, it's like a breaking ball. We'll make it work. But let's get into it, Jordan. NBA All-Star starters officially announced here, East and West. Over on the East, we've got, not surprising to me, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jason Tatum, and Karl-Anthony Towns. And out West, a little more surprising to me, Steph Curry, SGA, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Nikola Jokic. Overall, Jordan, I mean, the East was pretty much chalk for you and I. I mean, I was 5 for 5. You were 4 out of 5 of your picks. And again, this is not our predictions. It was just who we wanted to be there. You had Cade Cunningham in there instead in the starting five for the East. And I do believe that he will be getting an All-Star nod. I'd be really shocked if he didn't. I think the East is pretty solid. I mean, we pretty much said that Donovan Mitchell, Giannis, Tatum, and Towns were a lock, those four, to get their spots there. And I had Brunson, but I mean, I don't think you could really go wrong between him and Cade. Really glad it wasn't LaMelo.
Yeah, thank God. The fan boat, like, what do you think LaMelo's odds are now? Because it's just up to the assistant coaches, right? Like, that's who votes in the reserves. I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I could see it happening.
50-50?
Yeah, I could
see 60-40-4 happening.
Because I've heard a lot of like LaMelo love, like outside of obviously the fan vote where he got, you know, all the 13-year-olds, spamming him online, probably voting like 3 times in a day. Outside of that, like there is support for LaMelo as this quote unquote, 30-point per game scorer, decently efficient, like the only good player on the Hornets. I don't want to hear any of that shit. I've been watching.
He's made it before.
He's made it before, and I think that was a more deserving situation as a younger guy putting up these type of stats. Yeah. But I'm like, LaMelo's been doing this same type of shit for years. The Hornets are still god awful. I still don't think he's, to be honest, anywhere close to actually deserving this. And I just want to reiterate that if he gets in, I'll be a little ticked off because it'll be at the expense of, other guards in the East that deserve it more. When it comes to the starters, like you said, you were 5 for 5 there. I think that's the right call. I threw Cade in there as just a bit of a wild card sort of pick. Like I stand behind it, but I completely sort of expected Jalen Brunson to get that nod there. I just, when I was filling out my teams, I'm like, Jalen Brunson hasn't really like had a super standout season to me. And not that every great player has to have a standout season every year. Obviously I'm, and like I said, in our special, I might be holding him to a bit of an unfair high standard cause he's been great. On the flip side of that, Cade just has impressed me so much. So that's why I threw him in there. But overall, I think they got it right. But yeah, out west is a little bit more juicy, a little bit respect to some old heads that I think you and I don't think necessarily deserve the amount of recognition there that they got.
People are calling the Western Conference All-Star Get-Together the Unction. Old heads over there with Steph, KD, and LeBron. I mean, Jokic is getting there, but I mean, SGA rating is mid-20s. He's still a young pup in consideration in comparison to his counterparts here in the All-Star starting five. And again, I'm not surprised. Well, I'll say this. I'm not surprised to see KD get the starting nod here. I think we both had SGA and Jokic starting. You didn't have LeBron starting. You had him off the bench.
No, I had LeBron off the bench, but I did have KD starting.
Yes, okay. And so we were pretty aligned there. You did have Steph Curry on your bench as well. You had Steph on the bench. But I didn't have KD or Steph on my All-Star team at all.
You're a Warriors hater, man. Admit it. Yes.
I always will be, and rightfully so. I feel like anyone who watched basketball in that era probably still should have some bitterness towards that franchise, even though they're kind of in shambles right now. Yeah. But yeah, it's a solid starting five. I'm kind of, again, like I'm cool with KD getting in there in a sense because it is like he's one of the best players ever. He's got all these All-Star accolades. Like it's fine. And half of it's the popularity vote, and I believe at one point he was even getting more votes than LeBron. I think LeBron ended up passing him there in the end, anyways. But it is a little like I know I take winning into account a little bit more than these other voters that are doing this, both the fan vote and as far as the coaches go, or media, whoever the hell settles this these days. But like a 10th and an 11th seed deserve two All-Stars starting in the West. I don't agree with that. Like again, for reference, I had Anthony Edwards and Wembanyama in my starting five.
Yeah.
And I mean Wembanyama's on the 12th seed, but at least, you know, Minnesota's eighth. They're a little bit higher up than them, a couple games ahead, right, as we're speaking about them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't hate it by any means. Again, I had Steph and KD, and I on my ballot originally. I took them off completely. But I had both of them coming off the bench. I didn't really have either of them as a starter in my All-Star team. But at the same time, I do respect them, especially their place in NBA history and what they've done for the game. So I can... I'm not mad about it, but I do think that this one is like it is kind of giving Last Dance vibes. I mean, KD, LeBron, and Steph already had their little old heads meet up that they filmed, talking about how they're going to treat the next generation and all this jazz. Like, I'm cool with it because I still think that some of these other guys will get in, but I do feel bad because I feel like Jordan that this almost guarantees now that Sengun, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jalen Williams, like you really got to, I think their chances of making it in just drastically plummeted, with KD's inclusion in this one, especially coming in the starting five. Because, the assistant coaches, they're going to like it. They're going to, notice these guys. But I still think that even the coaches, they do look for the name value guys out there. I don't think that they 100% always vote for just the guys who deserve it the most. They're still fans. They still want to see some of these big names out there.
Yeah, they're still looking at the stat sheet for sure. Yeah, it's like I have mixed feelings about it too, because again, these guys aren't going to be around forever, especially in the case of LeBron, and then KD soon after. Like KD's closer than people think, and then Steph obviously right there as well in terms of
he's already said he's like a year left, 2 years left.
Yeah, so you really never know how long you're gonna get with these guys. So I get it, but like I don't know if it has to be fully like respect extended to them to the point where they're starting. Like obviously I on my ballot thought all three of them just by their merits deserve to be on the team, but like you said, Steph and KD weren't on your ballots, and I think that's I think that's at least arguable that they're sort of on the bubble there. So to have them there starting to me is just a little bit kind of gimmickifying the All-Star game even more than it already is. And I understand that's kind of the point of the game. It is mostly a popularity contest. Those guys, for years and years and years, those three guys have got, millions of fucking votes, in total to get into the game. So, I get it from that standpoint, but if you're trying to use the game and All-Star starters as like a snapshot of like who are the best in the league right now, who are the most talented guys, like those days for all three of those guys are over, and to varying degrees. They're still they're legends, so they're all still incredible compared to other players. But you know, we've all noticed the decline for all three of them. And like you were mentioning, team success. None of them on particularly good teams. Like they're all in the mix there. But you know, I like it and get it in one sense, and then I'm kind of annoyed with it on the other hand. But like, I think ultimately where I fall is it is supposed to be like a fun weekend with all these guys together. You know, it is. I do feel kind of bad for these younger guys, like you mentioned, who aren't going to make it or aren't going to be starters who might have deserved it in other years. Mm-hmm. But
I'm sure AD's going to get in there too.
Yeah, of course.
Whether you think he should, like he's not a bad player, not having a bad season by any means. But yeah, like you say, he's going to get in there.
Yeah, yeah, and like. So whatever, I still feel bad for those guys who are going to suffer because of this. But ultimately, these guys are legends. These are three of the best to ever do it. And in the modern era, they're probably the three guys that you mentioned first. And the ability for the NBA to have them, you know, all come out at once and, you know, take in the festivities and everything. I don't think that's bad that they're all going to be there. But then, you know, I circle back again and say, like, well, at some point the NBA has to say, look, we are going to hand the keys to a next generation of guys and sort of really put our marketing focus around them rather than squeezing every fucking bit of life out of these stars who just don't quite have it anymore. So they're like really flirting with that line right now, especially with all the fucking nationally televised games that the Lakers and the Warriors and the Suns still get when, frankly, there's tons of more exciting teams that I think fans would have more fun watching. But again, at the end of the day, I understand it. They're legends. That's what people want to see, particularly the casual fans who don't tune in all the time and you know, have kind of short attention spans in terms of, you know, the game. And, you know, I totally get that. LeBron's one of the most popular athletes in the world. Same with Steph and KD. So you got to push them for as long as you can. So, you know, it is what it is. I do get it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see looking forward to see / interested to see who exactly the reserves are, because I think that's going to tell the bit of the story as well of who's left off. It's definitely going to be a guy like you mentioned, like Shangoon, someone from the Grizzlies, who just doesn't make it on far superior teams. And that's
Jalen Williams. And Jalen Williams, I would not be shocked to see him get left off.
Yeah. So that part sucks.
Well, we will we'll keep a close eye on the All-Star reserves here, as that news will probably come out in the next week or so. As we're getting real close to the All-Star competition here coming up. I guess the inside the NBA draft will be happening.
Oh, yeah.
One of these years they got to let us draft.
Yeah, let me
first. They got to put us in the celebrity game.
Yes.
I'd rather be in the celebrity game first. I have not played basketball in so long now, man. That's I'm honestly getting borderline criminal, but I still feel like as long as I don't shoot the three, I could get in there and just hit like 20 layups. I could do it.
Oh yeah.
Celebrity game. You'd have to hit me. Yeah, you'd have to give me the freaking defibrillator, but I could do it. Moving on though. This one, Jordan, you know, it's an interesting topic here because I don't really know what is going on with them. The Orlando Magic, 5 straight losses, all coming with Paolo Banchero back in the lineup. Something that, you know, we highlighted, you know, it was amazing that the Magic had, you know, kept together this awesome winning record without him. They went all the way through, you know, even without Franz in the lineup, who is also back now. As of last night, so that they've got their two-headed monster kind of back in the mix. And I'm just a little bit perplexed as to how this hasn't translated into more wins. Like, they were a good team with these two. I obviously don't think it's a problem that, you know, the two of them are back. I don't think there's any chemistry issues in that sense. But it is a little bit weird considering, you know, some of these losses. Like, the last two losses are huge, double-digit losses to the Raptors and the Trailblazers. Like, you can lose to the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Nuggets. That's fine. That's understandable. Sure. At full health, you're probably going to lose those games anyways. Whatever. Like, those are three of the best teams in the league.
Yep.
How are you not beating the Raptors? How are you not beating the Trailblazers at home?
4 out of 5.
Yeah, Raptors are hot right now. 4 out of 5. Get dicked. but yeah, like you can't beat the fucking Trailblazers at home. That is really, really worrying to me. Yep. They've dropped all the way now to 7th. They're still 500 ball club, 23-23 on the season. But I mean, my panic meter is probably still only about like a 1.5, like a soft 2. On a scale of 5 on the panic meter, but I don't think that the Magic at this point can look at this team and see kind of the results with their two all-star players back and be comfortable with what they've been getting out of them.
Yeah, definitely, particularly the Trailblazers loss and the Raptors loss. I'll throw the Raptors in as a team you shouldn't be losing to.
I said get dicked. Grady had that. It was not really a poster, but kind of like he dunked it past.
Very nice.
I'm trying to remember who it was. It was a really nice one.
Very nice dunk. Yes. Yeah. The Raptors. You know, they're a bit healthier now and have been playing better. So you know, credit to them. They're not just
team. Manu Quickly's out again because fucking why would he play?
Yes. And separate conversation for another day. But I don't think it's a coincidence that we're winning with him out of the lineup. I think I need to reevaluate sort of how I feel about that man. But again, that'll be we'll get to that later. The thing with the Magic is they've been a fucking awful offensive team now for going back to last year and all of this year. Like, they're literally second to last in the league. Like, again, yeah. To have a 500 team still with a 29th offensive rating, it just is just insane that your defense can pick up that much of the slack. And they're not good.
Well, they're right in the middle, right? They were top four defense, and they're bottom two offense. True. So it's just can they ugly it up enough to get a win?
Yes, and like in the doldrums of the season, like when people are kind of crawling their way to the All-Star break at this point, it's harder, I think, to just rely on this hard-nosed defense that. Guys, they're not always going to be completely locked in. Even the best defenders, they're going to go. I think you're seeing that a lot with, the Celtics' struggles right now. As they've hit a bit of a rough patch. You're not going to be able to rely on that super high defensive intensity all the time. You're going to go through sort of lulls, and if you can't hit a goddamn thing on the other side, you are going to lose games. And I think that's the thing with the Magic. They just don't have the offense to. Get them through stretches like this. And they're not good from any part of the floor. Like in this, Portland game is a good example. Under 35% from the field, under 25% from three, and then under 70% from the free throw line. Like there's no silver lining in there at all. They also turned the ball over 19 times. So, they've been kind of bad taking care of it as well. You can be as good as you want and compete as much as you can through this part of the season on the defensive end. But if you can't make shots, you're just you're going to lose a lot of games. And it's kind of made me think about, what could the Magic do as soon as this year? Like, I think they should, if I were them, I'd be sniffing around the margins to get one or two knockdown shooters on the squad. Again, that's what Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was supposed to be this year, but he's just been absolutely terrible so far at shooting the ball from three. Like, he has not been the knockdown shooter that he's supposed to be. I would seriously look to, not necessarily upgrade over him. I would say, you went out and got him, keep him in there in case he turns things around, but there's little moves you can make, I think, to go and get some more reliable 3-point shooters, because I think that's literally all that this team needs. When you have guys, as long as they're fully healthy, when you have guys that talented at getting to the rim and creating, like Franz and Paolo, you just need a few shooters to be release valves and sort of take the pressure off. They don't have, it feels like, a single one. Even one would go a long way. So yeah, if I'm the Magic going through this stretch, it's like, number one, just get me to the goddamn All-Star break so I can sort of recoup and get everybody back on the same page. Hopefully I have Franz and Paolo healthy, sort of going into the back half of the season. And then, but also before the trade deadline, get some fucking shooting help. Because if they don't, I think they're going to hit a wall, in the playoffs again, because that's, the main time when you need good shooters. And Franz and Paolo, you know, all things considered, are still very young, don't have a lot of playoff experience. And they're really going to have to, yeah, rely on some shooting from outside, which they do not have. So those are the two things. Like you said, though, I'm not worrying too much. I think this little bit of a slide sort of makes sense during the timing of the season that it is. But yeah, I don't think they should be complacent and think they can get by and win around necessarily without making a few upgrades here.
Well, and I also do want to mention that the yes, they got their two best guys out or back now, but they still have that's your top two scorers. Your third, fourth, and fifth highest scorers are all out right now.
Yeah, still missing
Mo
guys,
Wagner,
yeah.
Jalen Suggs, and Goga Badadze. So they're not nearly at full strength yet. Yeah. They're still really diving deep into that bench to find you know, reliable minutes, and they don't really have a lot of offensive players. Which brings me to this, Jordan. I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to do any mock trades, but I couldn't help myself, man. I had to drum up one. I've got one here, and this is a bit of a bigger one. I know you're talking smaller picture here. Maybe I can drum up one more on the spot for you, but what do you say? What do you think about this one? Who says no? The Magic trade out KCP, Cole Anthony, and their 2025 first round pick this year for Zach LaVine. They get a legitimate closer, dominant ball handler, can shoot the three ball like it's nobody's business. I think he would fit well in this Magic team. He'd be their only defensive weakness on pretty much the entire roster. And then, you know, the Bulls, they get two veteran guys. You know, obviously the contracts are locked up for 3 years, but they get a pick out of Zach LaVine, which I don't think they're probably going to get from many other guys. And you know, you can use Cole Anthony and KCP and develop, you know, they're role players. They're not going to be asking for a lot. So I don't think it's too crazy of an ask. I think Zach LaVine's stock is low enough. They could go out and get him for this.
I love this move. This was one I sniffed around in the trade machine as well. With I 100% think, you know, with guys like Zach LaVine, it's when you go to put him in that trade machine and think about where he could go, it gets really hard really quick because of the sort of defensive question mark. I know we're gonna get to you know, Milwaukee and their trade aspirations here in a little bit. Is a Dame and Zach LaVine backcourt a good enough defensive backcourt in the playoffs? I don't know. I would lean probably towards
it's a trap.
No.
Don't do it. Don't fucking do it, Milwaukee. That's not going to work.
And you get into a lot of those situations, like, you know, like Miami. Can he play with you know, next to Tyler Hero or Terry Rozier, whoever's still there? Like, you go down the list, even in, you know, the Lakers is, oh, let's upgrade to Zach LaVine. Teams are already picking the hell out of Austin Reeves. You know, throwing Zach LaVine back there with him is just going to make it even harder, you know, for them to contain people. So, like, a guy like Zach LaVine, he absolutely needs a structure of defense around him to cover up for it, for what could be flaws. And again, I think there's some possibility that Zach LaVine could show some you know, defensive chops when he gets on a team that actually has some real aspirations, kind of like Devin Booker did you know, through the years leading up to that finals run. Like, sort of same situation. Zach LaVine has played with Team USA you know, and sort of been more impressive defensively than I think people thought, and he has the skills. So I also wouldn't put it past Zach LaVine, like, if he goes to a team like the Magic, to sort of really feed off of that defensive culture and be better than people give him credit for. But in the case that he continues to be a pretty bad defender who falls asleep a lot, especially off ball, you've got tons of guys, one of the best defenses in the league, to pick up that slack. So yeah, I love this. If they could swing something like that, I think that would be great. The only thing with LaVine for me, the only worry is that, like, is he gonna want the ball in his hands more than he should when you've already got Paolo and Franz kind of, you know, sort of passing it back and forth between them? Like, you don't really need a third ball dominant guy. But if he's okay just being more of a spot up shooter, which, you know, if I think if he's going to actually be a winning player, I think he's got to transition more into being okay with that. Yeah, I think it's fits really well. The one that I had, Matt, and I will raise you one is, Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's got that Florida connection. I know it's a big contract, but who says no to Beal coming to you know, the Magic, obviously, and then Jonathan Isaac, KCP, and Corey Joseph going back to the Suns. And you know me, I don't, you can figure out which picks would be fair in this situation, but just players to players. What do you think about that one?
I do think Beal's a better fit for them than Levine. Yeah. I think that, again, like we've said, like in the past, Beal can play a little bit of defense. I don't think I've ever really seen Levine be a reliable defender. You know, he's got the weight, like obviously he's got the vert and the quickness.
Yeah, that's the thing. He has the tools, which is what I'm still holding out for, but he's never shown it, really.
So I think that like on paper, like they're probably about even defensively. But I do think that Beal, again, is much better in the off ball, shooting category than Levine. He can be way more effective like that. He's proven that when he was playing with John Wall. Obviously, I don't think the Magic really have a facilitator that is akin to a John Wall at this point. I don't think there's really many passers in the NBA that are akin to that even today. Just goes to show the forgotten legend, John Wall.
John Wall. Dougie.
Said he wanted to make an NBA comeback. When's that happening? But the I don't hate it. And, I mean, for the Phoenix side of things, I think getting Jonathan Isaac would be awesome. They've had so much center depth issues that they would probably end up starting him.
Yep.
I mean, KCP would fit there like a glove as well. Get that defense a little bit improved that they really need some help with on the perimeter. And then you could use Jonathan Isaac in a billion different situations. I honestly think they would use him as like their closing five.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Not that he's got any offensive ability, but, I mean, they've got KD and Devin Booker. They don't really need anybody else. I don't hate it by any means. Would Beal waive his trade clause for that? I think would be the interesting thing. Like I mean, he's got probably about as good of a chance to win in Phoenix or Miami as he does in Orlando. So I don't see why he wouldn't. He's still getting paid. So and like you said, Florida connection. Yep. I don't think it would be the worst place for him to end up. And then before we move on, I did decide to drum up one more for you, Jordan. And this is just one because
here we go.
I don't hear anybody talking about this guy. I feel like he was in trade talks all the time, like 2-3 years ago. And then all of a sudden, like, even though like his contract is even more tradable now and he's older and it's only got 2 years left in it, nobody's talking about him and he's on a tanking team. Nobody ever mentions it. How about KCP, Jet Howard? And again, I wrote down 2025 Orlando first round pick, but you know, you can make up what you want.
Sure.
You think the trade value would need for it, but why don't they go after Anthony Simons? Like a guy who is an awesome 3-point shooter. I think a lot of teams in the league should be looking at Anthony Simons. Like he is just kind of wasting away in Orlando. He's not getting any younger and he's proven that he's an elite shooter in the NBA. I know he's still got a lot to work on defensively. His interior scoring ability is so-so.
For the Magic, they can take a bad defender in that backcourt spot next to Suggs. That is fine.
And again, he's like if you're looking for an off-ball shooter right now that is actually attainable, and you wouldn't have to empty out like your war chest of picks or anything, like Portland might go away with him if you just give him you might not even have to give up Jet Howard in this. You could do KCP and a pick straight up. Maybe they wouldn't even want a pick if you give them Jet Howard. Maybe you throw in Caleb Houston instead. I'm not sure, but. You could easily make this happen, and I don't think Portland would care because they've been trying to rebuild for the last couple of years, but they just aren't trading any of their assets. So I think right now Portland just needs someone to nudge them in the right direction and say, hey, man, you know your team fucking sucks, and you've got all these guys who are actually decent NBA players. Like, can we make this work?
Yes.
I think his fit in Orlando actually would be pretty nice.
No, I love it because also he's got a bit of like combo guard to him. Like he can bring the ball up a little bit and can play off of it. And so does Jalen Suggs. Like Jalen Suggs can be kind of your point guard when you need him to be and your shooting guard. So I like how they both could sort of fill that role, you know, that you've got two good ball handlers there. Each of them, that can kind of do things off ball. I love it because if you're Portland, like I think it makes all the sense in the world to trade him soon because you've got Scoot there still, who's played a lot better more recently, and you've got Shaedon Sharpe. Like you don't need Anthony Simons there as well. He's already outgrown the timeline, you'd be best to get something for him, even if it is just a pick, whatever it is. So I love it. I think there's three great options here for Orlando to go and upgrade, and they've got the ability to do it. I like the Simons one too, because he's the youngest of the three that we have suggested here, and would fit the timeline with these young guys in Orlando a little bit better, and like you said, a cheaper option as well. So yeah, love it.
Yeah. Well, moving on here, Jordan. It wasn't supposed to be a trade talk, but we're thick into the trade talk season. We love trade talk. We hope that there is actually a trade. For God's sakes, I feel like every time I ask, it pushes every trade by a week. Jimmy Butler's suspended again.
But every day, it's like Jimmy Butler is like him and Pat Riley will never speak again. And Mickey Harrelson, standoff in the parking lot. Like the situation keeps getting worse and worse and worse. But still, no trade. Please, God, soon, get him out of there.
Just make it happen. Yeah, figure it out, Pat. But moving on, let's talk about some trade talk here with actual teams that have put themselves out there into the trade market. It started off with the Milwaukee Bucks. Bit of a surprising one here, Jordan. We kind of actually had maybe deduced that I think you used your super sleuth skills on this one that they were looking for a trade partner for Middleton about two weeks ago.
Yep.
But now they're really starting to double down on it, saying that Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, and Pat Connaughton all up for grabs right now on the Milwaukee Bucks. I think it's weird for me, Jordan, and I say this because they're 25-17. They started off a little bit rocky, but since then have been pretty great to watch. Honestly, they've been an awesome team. They're a positive plus 3.6 differential, and they've won five straight games. Like, how they're running their ball club right now is working. They are winning games. I think that in the higher hierarchy of the Eastern Conference, in a playoff series, seven games, I think they can compete with the Cavs, Celtics, and Knicks. Like, I think just as their roster is constructed right now, they've got what it takes. You've got Giannis Antetokounmpo. You've got a team that works around them. And I just don't know why you would really want to tinker with things in a major way right around, when your team's already doing well, like this deep into the season. Like, I feel like these are more of guys you trade in your offseason, because these are three guys that were part of your championship-winning team in 2021. Like, these aren't just Joe Schmoes, guys who have been riding the bench. Like, these are guys who were like crucial in your team's success over the past 5, 6, 7 years. Like, I get that, there's, Chris Middleton hasn't really been, his former all-star version of himself. Portis has always kind of been, just kind of a super sub. He's never truly fit into this lineup next to Giannis. And then you got Pat Connaughton, who is a white guy. he used to play baseball. Who knew? This is a... an interesting just time for them to really want to move, and not just move guys, but move players who are so near and dear to their franchise's heart and their history. So I'm kind of intrigued as to what's really triggered this, Jordan, because I you don't see this a lot from teams. Usually they'll hold on to these old boys as long as they can. And if they do, it's usually a buyout so they can just pick where they want to go. And it seems like they're trying to get something for these guys.
Yeah, well, I think it's very clear that they're trying to improve, aggressively here based on these reports. And I think that does signal to me that they actually don't think they're good enough. I'm more with you that, there's been a lot of bad luck with this team, specifically when you look at, Giannis injuries around playoff time, over the last few years, basically since they went to the finals and won it. I don't think you should write them off as definitely not good enough to maybe sneak out a win against any of these guys at the top of the conference. Like, I think they match up really well against the Knicks, for example. I don't think this team is scared of the Cavs as good as they've been. Like, no one there is locking down Giannis, and they don't have anyone good to lock down Dame either in terms of their perimeter defense.
Maybe a nightmare matchup.
Yeah, and the Celtics, I mean, you're seeing how vulnerable they've looked more recently. So, yeah, I'm more on the page of we've got an actually sort of retooled team based on the last few years. Doc was, brought on famously, midway through the season last year. They never really looked fully like a team that could challenge. Like, they were still trying to put things together, and obviously injury concerns last year in the playoffs as well. But it does look like, they've actually got a bit of a runway this year, and especially, like you're saying, with how good they've been playing more recently, to sort of challenge without making any sort of moves. But yeah, the fact that they're shopping around makes me think that they do not think ultimately that they can get past some of these heavy hitters, above them in the standings. And when you're looking at Chris Middleton now at his advanced age, it's true that he has not gotten back to the level that I think you would typically want out of your sort of third best player, which at this point he's not that, but in the sort of best version of this team, that's kind of where he would slot in between Giannis and Dame. So I get, I get the sort of want to, and sort of willingness to go and upgrade, but like we've talked about before with Chris Middleton, like his stock isn't high enough really to get anyone of value in a one for one situation. And then, so if you have to really extend yourself and throw in Bobby Portis, and Connaughton, like you're saying, like that seems like that might be a bit counterproductive depending on who you bring back. Cause that does hurt your depth. Like Bobby Portis has been very, very important for the team as a big off the bench, for the last, handful of years,
even though the last decade.
Yeah. He's been great. So I wouldn't be so ready to just, give him up and go all in for someone, because who exactly are they going all in for? Because if you're going all in for Jimmy Butler, I have concerns about Jimmy and Giannis playing out there at the same time. Those are two, largely non-shooters, guys who you want with the ball in their hands a lot of the times. And then you've got Dame also, who you want to be running, pick and roll a certain amount. Like, is Jimmy just when the Dame Giannis pick and roll, which finally looks like it's actually something that could be dangerous. It took them a little while to figure it out, but if they're running that action, what is Jimmy Butler doing standing in the other corner? Like I don't love the fit. Same thing like we were just talking about with a guy like Zach LaVine or even Bradley Beal. I don't think he's on really the Bucks radar here, but either one of those guys, again, you've got defensive problems then in the backcourt with either of those guys and Dame. So there doesn't feel like a perfect fit guy out there for them to go and get. And in any sort of deal, I think you'd be sacrificing a lot of depth. But also the other thing, I'm wondering how they're even going to make this happen, because they are a second apron team, which means you cannot aggregate players. I went to Fanspo, try and find a fun trade right away. It pops up. This is a second apron team. So you cannot bring in one guy and send out multiple. So I don't know who the hell they think they're going to go get. You'd have to, best case scenario, you'd have to get someone around the Middleton number, which I think is like 30, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe it's 32 million, something like that.
And it's like, again, you're not going to get someone back.
31.6.
Okay. You're not going to get someone back that's going to be worth it for you in a one-for-one situation with Chris Middleton right now. Like, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a little perplexed by this. I do think that the Bucks, should be a little bit cooler in the head right now and say to themselves, look, we have not actually had a chance with this team fully healthy to test out what we look like in the playoffs. And I think they're ultimately in that scenario, if they are healthy, better than they think they are.
Yeah, I just don't get why you'd want to make this move, because all the reasons you said, like, plus I genuinely don't think, like, it's even like, it's a depth thing. Obviously, with the second apron, they literally are going to have to replace bodies with bodies.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like, Middleton and Portis are bad enough. Like, Pat Connaughton, you can probably fucking make a move for him. But, like, I don't know what you're going to entice anyone into taking. Like, you don't have all that much draft capital, especially draft capital that you can really move. 2026, the Pelicans hold the rights to swap with their own with the Bucks first round pick. Yep. I don't think they're going to be doing that. And then also in 2028, Portland holds the right to swap. So I'm not really sure. Like, they don't have any draft capital. They don't have anybody who's like a young prospect to intrigue anybody to, maybe want to give up a vet. Like, I really think they're kind of their hands are a bit tied here. Like, again, the only trade I could drum up that even makes a lick of sense that you could actually format to make, and maybe you'd want to do Middleton as one, Portis as one, but you could do, again, picking on Zach LaVine today, LaVine and Talen Horton Tucker for Portis and Middleton. Like, yes, that makes sense for the Bucks, but also it's like, who the fuck wants Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis on the other side?
I know.
Like, we're talking about this the on the Milwaukee perspective. Like, Middleton and Portis still have multiple years under contract. Like, 2 years for Middleton, 2 years for Portis. I don't know who's really looking at them right now. Like, a team that is selling, that wants to invest in two guys that are, one's 33, the other's like 29. Like, nobody wants them. They're just there. Like, they're a free agent signing that you can get when you're contending. Like, nobody wants to give up their current assets to get either of them, I don't think, right now.
No.
And their contract, the way that their money is, they're roped up to them along. If they were on expiring deals, like, you know what, next year when both these guys are going to be hitting free agency, move them, that makes sense. But this season just does not make sense at all, in my opinion. So I think that if they rush into things just because they know that the trade market's heating up and they think that they can make something work, I really do believe they should rethink what they're going for here, especially because they also think they're going to be in the Jimmy Butler sweepstakes. And it's like, you're not getting Jimmy Butler. There's no way that you have anything that fucking Miami is interested in getting right now. Well, like, yeah, I know they've too. Even said that they've said that they want to get guys who can help them still be a solid basketball team right now. And you know what? Middleton and Portis do kind of fit that narrative, that criteria.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still not really what they're probably looking for when they say that. And also that I've tried to make those trades, and with the apron rules, it's almost impossible. With Jimmy Butler having that $48 million price tag, and then you have to do a 2-for-1, and then it keeps going back and forth with trading young guys. And eventually, there's going to be prospects they don't really want to give up. So yeah. I'm really hoping that the Bucks sit on their hands a little bit here moving forward. But because again, it took you so long to finally start winning with this Damian Lillard era, and all of a sudden the things start getting good. You're like, hey, you know what?
Exactly.
Let's get a little bit more adversity introduced into the locker room, because yeah, why not?
Well, like maybe something a bit less, I don't know the word I'm trying to say, but like less of a big target than we're suggesting here, like the Levines, like the Jimmy Butlers. Like if the Cam Johnson price comes within the range of what the Bucks could offer, like getting someone like that who's a bit of an upgrade, or at least another guy like Torian Prince, I think that's a useful thing to go after. Like I wouldn't be opposed to the Bucks making slight tweaks to their roster here, but based on, if you're throwing the Middleton salary around and Portis and these other guys, like, yeah, it's a strange time to be doing that. And I don't think there's anyone out there who really fits the bill. In the case of a guy like Cam Johnson, like last we've heard, right, Brooklyn wants a first round pick for him. And I don't think if you're Milwaukee, I don't think that's something you've really got the ability to sort of outbid for. I don't think. It's not that I don't understand the sort of want to upgrade if you're Milwaukee and really solidify yourself as one of the best teams in the East, but there's just there's no sort of plausible scenario to get anyone who would be worth it in my eyes, unfortunately for them.
Well, moving on to a team that maybe some trades would make a little bit more sense and may actually work a little bit better for them. It's the Los Angeles Lakers. Both LeBron James and Anthony Davis, some of you have heard this before, have said they've told management that they need to make another move. That they're
kidding.
only one or two guys away from being legitimate contenders. It's crazy. But here we are once again in our Lord's year of 2025. The Lakers still think that they're in this, and y'all, who knows? Maybe they are.
You picked them to go to the finals this year, didn't you? Or no, that was
Once again, yeah. I'll keep my streak. Eventually, I'll be right if I just keep doing it every year.
That's true.
But it's crazy that they're still on this right now. Like, this is again one of their better seasons, one of their better teams they've had in a while. I still think the Austin Reeves at the point is wacky, but it's kind of working, so you just roll with it.
Yep.
But my biggest problem, it's not that they want a guy, they want a couple of guys to bolster this team, make them a little more impressive. It's Anthony Davis going outside of this, and now he's clamoring because he doesn't want to fucking play the five. I don't get it, man. We've been saying this for like 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Like, why don't you want to play the five? Why do you think that you are a power forward? Do you understand how modern day fucking basketball is played, AD? You cannot play the four. You can't. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you're not fast enough to rim run like that. Like, you are a fucking perfect prototypical modern NBA five right now. You can stretch the floor a little bit. You're not going to be out there, jacking up 8 threes a game by any means. But, shoot one or two. If you're a four, you kind of need to be expected to shoot a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not Giannis. You're not going coast to coast. You're not doing any of that shit. Like, I just don't understand where he thinks that, yes, I'm a power forward. You are a fucking center.
He's shooting 31% from three this year. If you were, AD, here's the deal. If I was JJ Redick, I'd say you, for a month, shoot over 40% from three, or bring your season average up to that.
Oh, and then 35%.
Or
35%.
Yeah, you know what? I'm being too harsh. Get to 35%, or even first baby steps, 33%, and then we'll bring in Jonas Valanciunas, or we'll go get Vucevic or some other big to play next to you. But again, even if that was the case that he was this knockdown shooter, he's still, that's an advantage to play the five who can shoot. Think about the best sort of most versatile fives that have won, and gone deep in the playoffs recently. Last year, that Celtics had Kristaps Porzingis. Do you think Kristaps was being like, look, guys, I really need to play the four. We need a five out here.
Yes. And he tried it. It didn't work.
Well, I mean, Brook Lopez. Do you think Brook Lopez is like, look, I need someone to sort of technically play the center? Like you go back, through time, and it's like we've figured this out in like 2012, Anthony Davis, that a guy like you with the size that you have and the versatility that you have, it opens up so much if you just play center. And the fact that he's still resisting it is insane to me. Dwayne Casey would love him. He'd play him. Back in the day when Serge Ibaka and Jonas Valanciunas were always out there together. There's no way Serge could play the five. It's just that way of thinking is so sort of dead at this point. And the ironic thing is that even going back to their Western Conference Finals run when they've been the best, AD, even if it's just like at the end of games when they've had more traditional centers, I mean, hell, going back to their Mickey Mouse 2020 championship, it was Anthony Davis playing center in like the most crucial moments, because that's obviously where you need to go. So
you're telling me 38-year-old Dwight Howard wasn't the real center on that team? Come on.
No, he wasn't out there. But it's not like there's not other guys who can sort of play center some of the time. Like Jackson Hayes gets minutes. Goddamn fucking Christian Coloco, who was lifted from the Raptors, it feels like illegally, because of a health problem. Now he's back and actually looks pretty good, which is tragic. Wish he was still on the wraps, but he's out there getting minutes. Like there are centers that that they'll go to, but this idea that you need like to go and actually give up assets for a good center that's paid, decently well, who we're going to feel like obligated, in the playoffs to have out there with AD at the end of a game, like that makes absolutely no sense. So they should not be listening to him. He shouldn't be opening his mouth fucking talking about that. If it's the complete opposite, they really don't need front court help, in my opinion, especially because, they just traded for Dorian Finney-Smith. He can defend kind of bigger guys. You've got Rui Hachimura there, who apparently they're still sort of set on keeping. It's way more in the backcourt that you need reinforcements, sort of at, and particularly perimeter defense in the backcourt, which is something you just do not have. Anthony Davis has got it all backwards, which that's nothing new from him.
Well, I've got a couple of little mock trades here drawn up. One is super basic because I honestly think that he is going to be a Laker very soon. You mentioned him already, Jonas Valanciunas. They could trade Jared Vanderbilt straight up for him.
Hey, the Lakers fans love Jared Vanderbilt. He's just coming back.
For whatever reason.
That would be so funny if they traded him just he's coming back.
I mean, they don't really have anybody else unless you want to give it like Max Christie, or you want to offload like four different, you could trade Christian Wood, Shake Milton, and Cam Reddish and a second round pick. Maybe that would wet their whistle. Sure. All three of those guys. Well, two of them are on 1 year deals. Shake Milton's got a 3 year deal, but I mean, that's only three mil cap hit. But he's also been traded recently. I think it's after the trade deadline.
I don't know how you feel about this, Matt. I think Jonas would fucking be awful on this team. This is
I don't think so either. He's not a defensive big.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You still need defense.
Yeah, like he can defend the rim a little bit, but the second he gets pulled out, he is like on ice skates. And I don't think him and AD is that smart of a pairing. So yeah, I don't like it.
Well, here's the one that I do actually like, because I just feel like they're going to make that trade and it's not going to work and everyone's going to shit on Jonas, which I'm going to be very sad about.
Same.
But this is one I think is interesting, and you probably have to throw in some sort of a pick here. I'm not sure really what his stock is these days. I know he's kind of in and out of the lineup due to injuries. They've got multiple big men. But again, I'm hounded on these Trailblazers to make a move here. How about Rui Hachimura, Gabe Vincent, and Jared Vanderbilt for DeAndre Ayton, a guy who's performed in the finals?
That I like.
He
a
actually
better.
Would be a nice fit, yes, next to Anthony Davis. He can't shoot very well either, but if you're going to get someone, you might as well just go super big. He would work really well with LeBron, I feel.
Yep.
And again, you're getting some youth. You're getting a guy who, like I said, has playoff experience. I think DeAndre Ayton should be a guy on a lot more people's radars. I also think, Robert Williams, Time Lord, is probably another guy they could get probably a little bit more easily from the Trailblazers. But the Trailblazers, they've got a lot of center depth.
They do.
So I feel like the Lakers should really be knocking on their doors.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. And there's no ice in the Los Angeles area, at least most of the time. So, you know,
true.
John Drayton has no reason to, you know, not make it to practice. Yeah. If you are going to go down the road of getting a center that you're going to play consistently next to Anthony Davis, which again, I think that's the wrong move. DeAndre Ayton is the right type of guy, I think. So if they were going to do that, that's the one I would probably like the most. The Blazers, I don't know what the fucking Blazers are doing. I mean, is Jeremy Grant not still on that fucking team?
Playing out his goddamn deal.
Like, it makes no sense. The guys that they're hoarding over there, both in the backcourt and the front court, and like veterans. So hopefully
they have all these guys that, like, when I look at their roster, like, I'm like, these guys actually should be kind of good, but they're horrible.
Yeah, it's strange. So yeah, if you're the Blazers, I would encourage them to make some sort of move like this. But again, I don't think the Lakers need to worry about the center position. If you have Anthony Davis, I think the center position, who plays center, should be the fucking last thing on your mind. And you should be looking at upgrading elsewhere. But in terms of center talks, deals to get them, DeAndre Ayton, I like that one.
Well, moving on here, Jordan, let's talk about some international flavor, huh?
Yummy.
Wembanyama, Victor, out there in San Antonio, Victor, getting to play in front of his home crowd, Paris, France, on Wednesday.
Bonjour.
Thursday. Big blowout win against the Pacers. Kind of weird that they framed this as a Spurs, as the away team. I don't know why they couldn't have figured that out, but whatever. The Spurs, 140 points they drop on the Pacers' abysmal defense. Wembanyama has an awesome game, which was to be expected in front of that crowd. 30-11-6, five blocks. And, you know, he looked happy. The crowd was into it. It's awesome when, you know, we get to see these global games played in other areas, you know, during the regular season. Obviously, you know, we talked about this off air, you know, in the preseason. We've seen them go to China and Japan. And I believe they I don't know if they're still planning on doing it this year, but they've done a lot of Mexico City games in the past. That's the Blake Griffin hola meme comes from. It's a really cool feel, and I like it. I mean, the NFL has been doing a lot of German games. They've been doing games in the UK, multiple ones. So I think I like this whole idea of taking the show on the road a little bit. It's a global game. All the athletes are all global, especially in the NBA. So I think that they should really start diving into this and really embracing it, Jordan. There's so many superstars like that come from outside the United States. They should be playing more games in the regular season outside of, you know, the realms of the United States, because they're there's a lot of arenas out there that could hold them, and they would have no problem selling tickets. I really do think that they're missing out on a lot of opportunities. Like, you're telling me that you wouldn't, like, people in Greece wouldn't pay to go see Giannis fucking play in the regular season?
Have you seen those Greek stadiums in the EuroLeague, like Olympiakos? They've got fucking flares.
Fucking crazy.
They're shaking the place.
And let them do that. Oh, right? Let them bring all their shit. That would be the most unforgettable game you've ever seen. Giannis would drop like 75.
It would be, insane. Like, 100% Greece. You mentioned, too, off-air somewhere in the Balkans, like in Serbia. Like, imagine in
Lithuania.
Oh, my God, Lithuania. Imagine in Belgrade, if the NBA decided to get the Mavs versus the Nuggets, and you had Luka versus Jokic in a sort of late in the regular season type game, that would just be electric. So yeah, I 100%, Lithuania 100%, you'd get incredible sort of atmosphere there. I think the NBA should definitely learn from this. It was a big success, just sort of atmosphere wise. And it's also, I just want to say, it's a small thing, but it's fun. And I think it like gets more fan interest when you have these games with the time difference, more like in the middle of the day.
A little treat.
Like it's just, you know, I threw it on as I was working Thursday. It was great. It felt like MLK Day part two. I think that's another little bit of a little bit of a draw for sort of fans in North America. So yeah, it was a great idea all around. They should definitely do more.
Yeah, one of the places I'm actually kind of shocked they've never done a regular season game is, you know, because they even had like the NBA Africa League at one point.
Yep.
I don't know if that's still going on, but they did do that little gimmick league for like a year.
Yep.
I'm sure that, you know, if you're really talking about growing the game, Adam Silver, I'm putting you on the spot here, man. If you really care about growing the game, especially in Africa, which is you've claimed in the past you wanted to do, They should have a game in Africa. They would have a lot of people out there. It doesn't have to be for the money, man. You're a billion-dollar fucking league. You could fly everyone out there. You could have an awesome game. I mean, I don't know. Does Joel Embiid count to be like a spokesperson out there? I mean,
he's got no ties anymore. Now. Yeah, he's from America.
Yeah.
But there's
still plenty of other talent that are, you know, have their roots in Africa. Like, I think it would be a really cool game to host there. And it would be great for, you know, a lot of those kids out there that will you know, potentially never have that kind of opportunity to see a game of that kind of magnitude, like a professional sports. Like,
100%.
I think the only time I can think of something like that is like when they had the World Cup there, and that was actually kind of a bad thing.
Well, yeah. And that was in South Africa too, which, you know, is a whole separate thing, but you know, you would have it in, if it was an NBA game in Cameroon or, you know, somewhere Congo, where there is, you know, guys with roots from there in the NBA. Absolutely. That would be great as well. Again, I think the atmosphere would be great. But like you're saying, sort of building that relationship. I mean, Masai Ujiri, another guy who's taken the lead on that and always been, you know, hugely involved in sort of growing the game over there. So it's something they definitely could make happen. And, I think it would be great, just for further development. In Asia as well, like lots of different, like the Philippines goes crazy for basketball, as we know.
Yeah.
Like you said, China, Japan, like you know, sky's the limit for the NBA. And if you're going to have a fucking 82 game regular season, for God's sake, and you're going to dig your toes in about never shortening that, at least give us some intrigue, you know, and put it in different places in the world. It's not like, you know, if the NFL can do one of their regular seasons over there of fucking 17, 18, we can do a whole bunch of, international ones pretty easily. I'm all for that.
Well, and especially with some of these teams, how bad their attendance is, fucking send the Raptors out there and let some people play in places that aren't MLSE regulated, and you can see them sell out, man. Like they would have a great crowd across the globe. I'm really shocked that they haven't decided to do this more. I get that it kind of throws off their schedule and for travel and all that,
it's also fun.
Make it fucking work.
Was an
the
NBA
season's
player,
already a billion weeks long.
Yeah, exactly. And if I was an NBA player, I'm on the road already all the time. I would love to just go to Europe, you know, for a little, or go to Asia. Like, it would be a nice little sort of trip built in. Like, give them a few buffer days on either side of it, or like they're doing with this, you know, Pacers Spurs thing. They're playing twice, actually, so they're over there and can just stay there for
make
a little bit.
It.
Like, that's fun. So yeah, I think it's good all around for everybody.
Well, we'll check in. Hopefully the NBA will actually do something productive in that sense. We would really like to see that. Would be an exciting atmosphere. Last thing to talk about here on the pod, a little bit of a downer, unfortunate news. Dante DiVincenzo going to be out another 3 weeks due to injury.
Something with his big toe, isn't
originally, it? Yeah, toe injury. They originally had said that you know, it was just indefinitely. They weren't sure what the timetable was going to be. But, you know, 3 weeks is, for a team like Minnesota right now, which is just hanging on in that top eight right now, you know, the two games over 500, the Suns, the Warriors, even the Spurs a little bit are nipping at their heels, trying to take their spot out of that that top 10. This is bad for a team that's already been so putrid offensively, that has struggled to, you know, find guys who can hold the ball and make things happen. Now to not have, you know, the one other guy outside of Anthony Edwards that could really do it.
Yep.
And you know, they're still playing well. They were just barely able to eke out the win against the Mavericks on Wednesday, their last
close
game,
one.
Which was, I don't really understand how that was so close. But you know, it is what it is. They only played eight guys in that one. Like, it's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
the Timberwolves are in the situation they are, but yeah, they can't be down more guys. This is just, I feel like they're due for a big hit coming up here soon without Dante. I know he's been out for a little bit now, but this is bad things getting worse for the Timberwolves right now.
Yeah, definitely. Because again, same broad strokes issue with Minnesota, if you can call it an issue last year. I know they had a great season, but it was, you know, they were strong defensively, but it was like, how are we going to put this together on offense? That's still kind of our weakness. Like, they are 15th right now offensively. They've actually, after starting really badly defensively this year, actually they've climbed up to 7th. So that's sort of gone back to being one of their strengths. But Dante DiVincenzo more recently, you know, has played a lot more alongside Ant and has looked, you know, when he's been playing, has looked better. Like, he's got that 3-point percentage back up to a more respectable 37-ish% on 7 attempts. Like, mm-hmm. he was starting to come around and look more like the guy that we thought he was kind of a lock to be and this, you know, amazing fit on this team. And so, yeah, this is really bad timing, and they are going to struggle to score. It's a lot at the end of games that, you know, when it's close, it's a lot of Ant still trying to take tough shots, get to the rim. He makes a lot of them, obviously. He's a great player, but there's not, you know, with Kat gone and Julius Randle, they're pump faking on the fucking baseline. There's not a lot of options for them to go to. And yeah, Dante was one of their good sort of reliable or one of their more reliable, at least, shooters and guys who could attack closeouts. So yeah, it's a bad time for him to be out. And if they fall down the standings, they could be sort of fighting sort of post All-Star break to stay in good position here. So yeah, it is really rough timing. Hopefully he can come back. You know, if you're trying to find a silver lining, hopefully you can maybe think, okay, maybe Nickeil Alexander-Walker is going to step up here a little bit more. Jaden McDaniels might take on a bit more of a, you know, offensive burden. But I don't have high hopes for those things to happen. I think they've had plenty of chances to look better collectively as a team. And
they started Dante. To get him in there. What the fuck? Like, I don't know why they haven't done this. We've been asking them to do it for pretty much the whole season. Get Rob Dillingham in there, man. I know. He needs the minutes. He's the exact type of player that you need right now.
I think you'll see him now.
Needed it all season.
I think you'll see him now.
He played in that last game, but he didn't really do all that much. I want to get the accurate figure here. Yeah, only 8 minutes. Like, yeah. he technically played, but not really. He had one assist, and he missed three shots. But, like, just put him out there. Yep. Trial by fire. Fucking let him see. Like, I don't know why you're treating him like he's Bruno fucking Caboclo. Like, he's a fucking decorated, like, collegiate player. He knows what he's doing. He can go out there and hoop, man. Like, just give him the fucking ball.
And
get out of the way.
Him. Like, you purposely drafted him to fill this role. If you're not even going to try and develop him, I don't know what the point of that was.
Yeah, and again, they've still got tons of other younger guys on the team that I think they'll... Like, why not? Like, I've always been confused. Why has Luka Garza never really gotten a fucking fair go in the NBA? He was good with Detroit when they were tanking. Like, I think that Luka Garza has some value to offer a team if someone actually gave him a chance. You know, and then you look at, like, Leonard Miller, Big Cat Canadian. Yep. Give him some chance, man. Give him some bird. Josh Minot, he was a fucking beast, I believe, back in the day, UCLA. Mm-hmm. Like, there are guys on this team that have young legs that can, you know, go out there and find a shot. They can make things happen. I just don't understand what Finch is thinking right now in not making these guys get any minutes. Like, again, they essentially played a 7-man rotation in a regular season game against a Dallas Mavericks team with no Luka Doncic. I'm just really perplexed by that. It's like Tibbs is secretly the puppet master behind the Timberwolves still.
Yes. He's still got his fingers in the pot over there. I mean, it is solidly an 8-man rotation. It drops off drastically after Nickeil Alexander-Walker too, Dillingham, all those guys you mentioned. Like, they just get thrown in, peppered in every now and again. You know, I think with the fact that DiVincenzo is out now for a bit, and with the fact that Mike Conley is so old that some games he looks like he might as well not be out there, like, you've got to experiment with a few more guys here so you can at least go to them as an option in the playoffs. Like, if you are playing a tight 8-man right now, like, it feels very much like, okay, this is your ceiling. This is as good as you can be in the playoffs. You know, if we're going off that, if that's true, based on what they've shown this regular season, then, you know, Minnesota might not make it out of the first round, which is crazy considering, you know, how good they looked last year. So yeah, absolutely. They got to give some of these other guys more play just to see if they've got anything, because it's with or without this DDV injury, they've definitely fallen short of expectations this year.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the Timberwolves, see if you know, any of these other younger guys or guys on the bench will ever get to see the light of day. but we want to see you guys and your shining, beautiful faces. Maybe some ugly faces out there. Yeah. I mean, it's our listeners, for God's sakes. But give us a follow at Big Dog Ball Talk, X, Instagram, TikTok. You're back. Let's go, baby. And Facebook for all you old heads out there. Give us a follow, and we will give you guys all the content that you need. As long as you guys give us the follows that we need.
Just the follows.
It's a symbiotic
there you go.
Interface here, system. We'll make this all happen. So help us help you, and we'll help ourselves.
Make more money.
Moving on.
It's not about the money.
This has been Big Dog Ball Talk. Bye, Jordan Flegel. That's my good friend.
friend Jordan always says.
I'm going to speak from the heart, Matt. I just came up with this. Mm. I just feel sort of... the greatest point of growth occurs right before your limit, okay? Remember that.
Holy shit.
You know what?
You just thought of that?
I did. And it's true.
Jesus Christ. You're wise. I'm beyond your years.
I'm really testing people.
I always thought you were fucking dumb, but see, that was good.
To see, like, the people who email me from my to fucking pitch me things for my work, somehow they find the podcast. I'm testing you if you've been listening to the whole goddamn thing. Feels very much like
Jordan will give you business, whatever you want him to, whatever propaganda you want him to push with the fucking nosing
argument.
He'll do it.
You got
to
listen to the whole
give
thing.
Give him the quote, word for word.
Yeah. But no, it feels very much like a producer Alex quote. Just picture him saying it in his calming voice. It'll inspire you all.
Got a lot of growing to do this summer.